Call to order the January 18th, 2023 Board of Port Commissioners, and we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Our new Vice Chair, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Also, allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Like kindergarten. Yeah. All right. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Stevens?
Here.
Commissioner Brennan?
Here.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Here.
Chair Blumenberg? And Commissioner Rainey will be absent today.
All right. We'll move on to the adoption of the agenda. Commissioners?
Move approval as presented.
Second.
Have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, and we can do this at just a voice vote, right? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say no. Hearing none, we've adopted the agenda for the evening. Okay. Next thing on the agenda is approval of the minutes from our January 4th meeting. Commissioners?
Having read the minutes and agreeing with the minutes, I'll be happy to move the minutes for approval.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
I wasn't present, so I'm going to abstain.
We have one abstention. Okay. Whispering. Public communications, next topic on the agenda. Do we have anybody from the public who would wish to address the board? This is on issues that are not on tonight's agenda.
There are no public speakers.
No public speakers, no public speakers present. So we will close public comments and move on to the closed session report. Council?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A closed session was held as set forth on the closed session agenda. The board heard a report from staff and council as to each of the three cases noted on the agenda. The board gave direction to staff. No action was taken that is reportable under the Brown Act.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Board communications, opportunity for commissioners to present brief reports on issues related to the port. Do we have any commissioners?
Yeah.
Chris?
Jackie?
Just having walked along the beach and seen the amount of debris, and I know we'll be talking about that more, what was very heartening was how many people were carrying plastic bags while they took a walk on the beach in order to pick up plastic. People were walking off the beach with, sadly, bags and bags of garbage, but still that people are making that effort was really heartening.
Yeah, I'll add to that, that last Thursday I had the opportunity to do a drive about the district with our harbor master and general manager just to see some of that damage, see some of the wear and tear that this storm has caused. And a couple issues that we noted was, you know, people still tempted to use the water. And so I will remind people that there's an app called VC Safe Beaches. Ventura County monitors the health of the water in the beaches. And I don't know if anybody can see that, but there's a lot of red dots south of the Ventura River because that's where that sewage spill from Ojai has poured into our local water. So most of our local beaches, unfortunately, are red. The recommendation from the county is avoid contact with the water for now. Hopefully that dissipates soon. But I appreciated seeing firsthand some of the damage to our infrastructure, certainly the damage to the beaches. And as Jackie said, we'll talk about that some more in this meeting. So, Brian?
I know we'll probably see it on maybe the next agenda, or certainly early on, but I know the CMAQ is coming up, and it's the end of February into March. It's a little earlier from the numbers, and CMAQ is a Coastal Marine Navigation Conference Association. But and Jim Hauser has always done a great job, and the opportunity to go back to Washington, D.C. and actually talk with with the Corps and talk with the elected representatives, not just the folks in Ogden that we know, but faces we don't generally see or know, and on committees that have to continue to say yes to voting for dredging funding. And I know that, you know, with the new sort of a new administration in Congress, they're still trying to find their way. And I'm not sure, but where we stand in terms of just reserves, our ability to be able to, which we don't want to be spending our money to dredge and wait for it to come back. But we certainly know that we, back in 2013 saw, I think, believe it was 2014, saw, you know, Lake Ventura, where the harbor was literally closed, I mean, from the sand and sediment. So I don't know if we have a contingency plan, but from everything I know, we've got some Julie at CARPA, the fabulous, I mean, in terms of what's going on, and know what's going on, but I can only envision chaos for a while back there. So we've seen that before, and we ended up in the short end of the stick in terms of being trying to figure out what to do with dredging and keep the harbor open. And I certainly hope that we'll, I know you guys will be on it, but as early as possible. And if there's anything that needs to come to this board for action ahead of time, please don't, I know you're good about that, but certainly I think just being aware that that's happening. So thank you.
Right.
So let's move on to the staff and general manager reports, because I think one of the issues that the issue that Brian just brought up is was included in your. So if you would touch on the status of dredging and the plans for CMAQ, that would be great.
It is. Let me start with actually, I just wanted to highlight the capital improvements report that you saw. Joe Gonzalez here this evening, all the staff, of course, and all the different departments are doing a great job. But I just wanted to spotlight some of the things that you saw in this report, despite the rains and the storm activities, Joe has been able to work closely with his contractors. Some of the work is indoors, some of it is outside. But despite that, and from some of the photographs you see here, we've got work going on ADA restroom upgrades at the village itself, the facade renovations to get ready for the future arcade and entertainment use. There at 1567 Spinnaker Drive, and some of the ways, so you see the photographs, some of the ways that were used by Joe and the contractor team to really minimize the construction impacts to surrounding tenants, which I know is of great concern to staff and at the board. So a lot of that work has been able to be contained with inside with the wood wall that was put up during that time. And then the trash, the new trash enclosures that are going up. So we have two new enclosures going up. You may have, if you've been around the village, seeing that work underway. Of course, that is outdoors, and but a lot of the framing and so on was already up as some of the storms were starting to hit. And the older enclosures, also three older ones. Okay, two new ones, three older ones. The three older ones, those are all going to be coming down as part of this project after the new ones are up and operational. And of course, they're just trash enclosures, but they're designed from a sustainability perspective in terms of being of the right size to capture recyclables. They're designed to keep birds and other, bird life out from distributing trash everywhere, and really complementary to the design of the village as a whole. So anyways, he's been dealing with a lot, as a lot of the other teams been dealing with disaster response. There's been a lot of work in trying to work through construction schedules and impacts to that. So I wanted to compliment him and give a little shout out there tonight.
Can I ask a question from the Capitol report? The wayfinding sign project and the difficulties with that, it wasn't clear to me whether those were under warranty and we're getting them replaced or we're paying for those costs.
Sure, and I think I'll let Todd respond, and then I was gonna have him just give a quick update on dredging as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, the architect's specifications for the materials for the placards themselves really did not suit the environment particularly well. I would say that the manufacturer went above and beyond trying different solutions to come up with something that would be resilient. But the reality is that the acrylic just continues to expand and shrink in the sun. And ultimately, we just decided, rather than continue to fight this losing battle, to switch tactics and switch to basically a material recommended by the manufacturer, the sign company. So we didn't opt to go after like a Arizona emissions type thing with the architect. I think everything was done with all the best intentions. It just wasn't the right choice. The paint didn't stick to the material contracting and expanding it's fine today. It's just not going to last. And rather than start the project with something that's already, you know, chipping, we're just going to start over and we're going to be happier with the product for having spent the money.
Thank you.
To answer Commissioner Brennan's comments about dredging, I can say that you'll be pleased to know that fiscal year 23, which is the current year we're in with the federal, is fully funded. We have all the money we need to commence dredging. There should still be residual money left over. We are now in the process of pursuing fiscal year 24 funding, and our new Congressman Carbajal and our previous Congresswoman Brownlee jointly co-wrote a letter to the Office of Management and Budget, which is the branch of government that writes the president's budget, asking for Ventura to be fully funded in fiscal year 24. That was a huge thing for them to come together on. I understand that Brownlee was the one who instigated and Carpy and Clay got Carbajal on board. I've been working with Julie to try to get Congressman Carbajal here. Actually, for the last 2 weeks, we've been working on getting them to come visit. I got an email from the office today saying, yeah, maybe we can get down there, but sounds like Commissioner Brennan's going to see him sooner. So I would certainly encourage you to say thank you for having done that letter. It won't be the last time we ask for something along those lines. More importantly, though, I think the opportunity will be to say, with regards to the beaches, how important the dredging is to renourishing them. Right now, the dunes are actually eroding because of the conditions of the lost sand, and this is the opportunity to put that sand back. And that's plenty, but we're continuing to work on the permits as well, which may come up later. Thank you.
Quick question. How'd the Inner Harbor do with the storms? Sure.
Saturday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments on the general manager reports, questions? Okay. All right, let's move on to our consent agenda. These are items that are typically non-controversial, acted upon at one time. We actually only have one item on the consent agenda. It is the approval of a new slip charter or lease agreement with Boatels on the Water, doing business as Boatels on the Water. So these were formerly in the corner and we've moved them down. Now they got a prime spot in front of Deep Sea, yeah, the new winery. So commissioners?
Move approval. No public comment on the agenda? Thanks. Okay, I'll second.
Ryan. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Hearing none, the consent agenda is approved. All right, so we'll move on to our standard agenda. Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We have a PowerPoint presentation here. We'll come back to the recommendation, which is a multifold in terms of the items there. But before we get there, we have both some PowerPoint slides in terms of some of the conditions and photographs taken by a variety of folks, John Higgins, facility staff, marketing staff, administrative staff, and so on over the last, let's say, 2.5 weeks or so of time. I think this was taken the day, John, that we were out on the beach surveying the amount of debris. But let's go ahead and jump in on the next slide. Okay. All right, so in terms of our report, the recent severe winter storms have caused damage within the harbor area. We had water damages reported by Sergio and Wayne in the village and a couple of the suites at the village that they've been managing and repairing. The public launch ramp had some damage to it. I think some of that was related to the removal of damaged slips in the Keys area and using the Port District's public launch ramp area as an area to remove those slips from, and some of the tie-ups, I think, to our slips there. Private boats and docks within the city's Ventura Keys. I'm sure some of you have seen some of the video content that's been posted publicly regarding that. City streets within the harbor, we all, I think, saw a significant amount of damage occurring pretty quickly within the time frame of the storms. New potholing, some of which are very significant in size. Surprisingly, even on Anchors Way Drive, which is a newer street relative to some of the streets in the harbor. Significant coastal beach erosion, which we just touched on a little bit, and we'll talk more about. And debris flows into the harbor, and I think we think that is multiple locations. Certainly, it's coming from the Arendelle Barranca, but I think it's also from the significant outflows from the Santa Clara River. And do we think Ventura River as well? All of the above has brought debris, and of course, you touched, Mr. Chairman, on water quality conditions earlier, but physical debris that you can see is just built up in significant ways over the last couple of weeks, and then the next storm would come, right? So there's no ability to really react to one, and then the next storm would hit. Debris removal and repairs, as I said, hampered by the sheer volume of material. I have seen this in past years and haven't seen it in a while, anything close to what we've seen this year. Continuing rain, wind, and wave action storm surge that we've been seeing over the last two and a half weeks. Certainly those types of conditions present hazards and risks to the public. Harbor entrance, John, in concert with the U.S. Coast Guard, has had safety warnings in relation to the harbor entrance channel, waves breaking and so on right at the entry point there in strong surge. And obviously those types of conditions present risk to boaters. Attempts to determine, I think up until today, attempts to determine changes in inner harbor water depths near the Arendelle Barranca area were impeded by the turbidity of the water column due to significant storm runoff. Clearly it wasn't clear, right? Everything was extremely muddy throughout the entire harbor. Next. There's been a series of emergency declarations. The governor declared a state of emergency as a result of the storms on January 4th. On January 6th, the acting city manager of the city designated, who's also designated as the director of disaster services, proclaimed the existence of a local emergency. And due to city residents and property damage suffered throughout the severe storms. On the 9th, the council ratified that resolution confirming the existence of a local emergency. And then on January 8th, the President Biden declared an emergency in California in response to the severe winter storms, flooding, and mudslides. And of course, it only got worse from there. What did that do? Federal assistance put in place to supplement local response efforts and authorizes Department of Homeland Security and FEMA to coordinate disaster relief efforts. Yesterday at the County Board of Supervisors, they declared a local emergency. Their preliminary estimate of damage was to top $30 million. I'm sure that number will go up. And they would ratify that at their, I think, what would be their second reading on the 24th. Next. So Jessica's included the section from our purchasing manual with respect to disaster declarations. Unfortunately, you've been through this before on several occasions and have done that with tsunami impacts last year and some other things that have occurred prior to that. But that first point there is that emergency declarations are contemplated in the district's procurement and purchasing policy section 5 regarding competitive bidding to enable the district to coordinate a timely and effective disaster response. So everything in italic is directly from the policy. An emergency means sudden, unexpected occurrence, poses clear and imminent danger requiring immediate action, et cetera. So staff is recommending a declaration of emergency to delegate authority to myself as general manager to ensure the facilities, infrastructure, and assets are made and remain safe and functional, as well as providing staff resources needed to respond to these events, and obviously in the weeks following up. Since the preparation of this report, the City of Ventura provided a letter to the board in support of the district's requested action, and of course continued coordination efforts. What I'd like to do is certainly give thanks to all of our team, John Higgins and the Harbor Patrol staff. Their immediate response to the Keys. Here's some of the pictures. Thank you, Jessica, from some of the damage received all the way back when this first started to damage in the Keys. Again, it is a city area. The waterways within the Keys are considered city streets, but Harbor Patrol has continued to provide mutual aid responses within the Keys areas in support of the city and its residents. Obviously, that comes at a cost in terms of overtime services and expenses. I mentioned some of the damage to the launch ramp, but quickly, towboat U.S., as has been in the past, responded quickly and in coordination both with the city and with the Harbor Patrol facilities. Wayne and Sergio certainly have been working both at the village and then also providing supplies such as roll-off dumpsters and so on that were brought out to the launch ramp for debris removal. And administrative staff, Jessica and others, have assisted me with getting messaging out to tenants and to our staff and keeping people briefed. I've had several communications with the city manager along the way, including discussion about preparing for this declaration as well. So at this point, all of these photos are certainly indicative of the kinds of things we see there. If you look at on the lower left, that's where the launch ramp was being used for debris removal from broken and destroyed slips. Up above that, you see one of those slips back in the Keys destroyed. Some of the there's a roll-off bin there that's a debris removal. And then on some of the others, of course, the same debris photos that you see there. We had what turned out to be, John, was it a 90-foot telephone pole? 60 and 70 foot telephone pole that was in the surf that eventually beached. And I think we coordinated a company to come out and saw that into removable pieces. It's that sort of contracting and work effort that needs to be done in obviously immediate and timely fashion. There's more work to be done, obviously, and we'll want to coordinate with the city closely and with the county to work on some of these debris. It's great to see citizens and residents and beachgoers kind of helping with some of that cleanup. I think one of the things that John recommended and Wayne and Sergio did was put dumpsters out at each of the two beach parking lots that folks, if they're doing that, have a place to remove that debris. So we've been doing that. And I think that's really about it. The other significant thing, of course, has been the beach erosion itself, although not uncommon for this time of year. Certainly, it's been even more severe when we took the tour with the chairman. Some of the cliffing that we saw down close to Surfers Knoll was pretty significant in terms of drop-offs and so on. Inner Harbor, in terms of the near the Barranca, that has been a bit challenging, I think. What John had reported is the ability for the sonar to penetrate. That just shows you how thick that was. But I think we were able to get some numbers that at least show a reasonable depth of water. It doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean we couldn't still have some inner harbor dredging needs. But I think you got some soundings today, John, and Todd, that were somewhat reasonable in nature.
Yeah, I'll just make the comment. The Harbor Patrol was able to get data today, which is great. They have what's called a pathometer, which is just a profiling tool, gives some preliminary information. I think John and I talking about it, what we'd really want to do is to, when Manson comes and does their pre-dredge surveys, to get them to come back and do a little further into the Keys and make sure that a dredging action isn't warranted. At this time, I don't think there's a, John probably can concur that there's no urgent need for action, but we may reevaluate as we get more data.
I would, and I would say that, I mean, that actually could be one of the most significant costs out of this whole thing. If it turned out we needed to do inner harbor dredging, you're all aware of how costly that endeavor is, and you want to do it when the dredge is here as opposed to having to contract for some other type of service at a different time of year. So I think we'll want to get as much data as we can get, but clearly this is all runoff related to these atmospheric storm events, and it could be that some of the other costs are more in the thousands in terms of overtime and some of these other contracts, unless we incurred any other damage. I don't know about the debris cleanup at this point. Again, I want to talk more with the city and see if we can coordinate with them closely. So I don't have an idea yet of what that would cost to get this all cleaned up. Probably the biggest single item expense could be something like an inner harbor dredging if we had to do that. We certainly would want to apply to FEMA and see if we can get federal relief funds if that were to be the case. So that's our report. I don't know, John, if you want to add anything, but again, our thanks to Harbor Patrol that went, as they always do, at 110% around the clock to help our residents through the disaster here.
Yeah, I think I would just add that Todd was correct. Our soundings are very basic. We looked at the big picture, and there is no significant hazards to navigation. It's narrowed in that channel, but as we noted, it was better than our emergency dredging last time where we had to do it. The harbor entrance itself has some pretty good depth. There's some infill, but that's what it's designed to do. And we'll continue to monitor that. And should there be any changes, we'll make everyone aware of that. We did, I'll make the soundings that we did, the crude soundings, available to Jessica. She could attach it to the meeting notes, and then the public would be able to see that. We have it at our office, and then if the public ever wanted to see, we could make that available to them.
Thank you, John. The other company, I just made a note to myself here that deserves a shout out is I think it's Major Engineering is the company that also responded very quickly. They've worked with us in the past, and they worked with the city and with homeowners within the Keys to start dealing with some of that destruction. Mr. Chairman, that concludes our report, but obviously the whole team is here from facilities, capital, harbor patrol, administration, and marketing to respond to any questions you or the board may have.
Thank you, Brian. Before I turn it over to the commissioners, let's ask for public comments. Do we have any public comments on this?
There are no public speakers.
No public speakers, and seeing nobody in front of us. Brian, you had a point?
Certainly, and I won't go on too long because obviously the record's not in danger. But I did want to ask John, a couple years ago, we had the harbor entrance, actually out on the outside breakwater, the light had sloughed, and we had to replace that. And do we know, that's an area of certainly the sloughing. I saw numerous pictures of waves completely covering that structure, breaking onto it. And so I don't know, obviously in your evaluations, you take that, do we have an engineering company go out and look at any of that, or how's that faring?
So we haven't had any reports of any deficiencies or damage. Annually, the Army Corps of Engineers walks the whole structure. Yeah. They physically walk, and then the Coast Guard will do kind of spot checks, and they kind of look at how resilient it is, or how it's holding up to the weather, and or will make those repairs as needed. So they completely replaced it a number of years ago, and but it has definitely been battered over the years. It's just really subject to a lot of wave activity because that section of the detached break wall wasn't reinforced like the rest of it was.
Ah, okay. I thought, yeah.
The Corps is aware.
Okay, great. I know that's, and that's on their dime, right? Okay, good to know. Okay. And then I think one thing I did want to say that State Parks, I know, is starting to might want to coordinate with State Parks in regards to they're starting a cleanup effort. And I would be remiss if I didn't say this and use this opportunity. And thank you, Chris, for reminding me. But, you know, the reason the beaches get built up is because of the debris that sits there. And then the sand builds up on the debris and you start creating dune systems. Now, I'm not an elected official anymore, so I'm not worried about people screaming and yelling at me like they used to, but they can still do that. But it's just one of those things. It's, we don't like to see it. We don't understand it. And I know that in the beaches where that's very popular, where people go and kids go, we should clean all that. But in some of the other areas, we should leave them. We should leave them down by the river mouth and not be spending money to do that, just so that that sand builds up in the dune system and holds onto that sand longer on the beach and gives us that opportunity. Where we know the public's gone, where we have parking lots, maybe doing that, but certainly any opportunities we have to sort of leave that debris and let that become part of the landscape and hold onto it is a good opportunity. So thank you.
Just real quick, we focused on the large objects that potentially would go back out in the ocean and be a hazard to the boaters. Certainly, we haven't even looked at tackling the small stuff or the beach entirely because the county hasn't come up with a unified response on how they may or may not do that. But yeah, we're keenly aware of the sensitivity of the habitat and how it helps the birds and things like that. But the telephone pole, for example, had that gone back out, that would have,
the bottom out of a boat,
the most robust of boats.
Yeah. I don't have anything to add other than thank you to the staff for all your hard work. I mean, I think we've come through this relatively well. I mean, it could have been a lot worse. So thank you all for your work. And
just a quick question to make sure I understand the Inner Harbor dredging issue. If there's emergency funding to do Inner Harbor dredging, does it make sense for us to take advantage of that? Because even if we're not at a bad point, we're accelerating towards that bad point more quickly. So should we pursue Inner Harbor dredging with emergency funding if available?
We'll tag team it. So we didn't know if these storms were going to continue. So early on, that was in Todd's mind. What is the current permit? What do we need to renew it? And going from there, the establishing the emergency and us documenting all the stuff and trying to get soundings and then qualify that with official soundings potentially sets us up should the emergency declaration with the state or the federal government include other than initial response and mitigation, we'll be in a really good spot because the permit has already been looked at. We've already communicated. We've already identified where we potentially would have that concern or that need. And so we're really well positioned going into the weeks ahead and to react or to respond.
Yeah, John's 100% right. Regarding the permits themselves, the coastal development permit is still in place. It requires the mouth of the river to be open. It is. The other two permits with the Corps and the Water Board will have expired, but the renewal should be completed before dredging begins anyway. So, and if not, we've already communicated with the agencies the need that either hurry up or we're going to need to get an emergency, which they don't like to do anyway. So we should be in great shape permit-wise to do the work. But it, as John said, if the opportunity for funding is there, which at present it's iffy, but if it's there, we absolutely would benefit from accelerating a dredging cycle a year too early.
Yeah, I like your idea of getting Manson to do the survey a little bit further into the Inner Harbor. That makes a lot of sense given the amount of sediment that came down. There's certainly a potential. John, have we seen boats coming from the Keys in and out of the harbor?
Yeah, and we've gone back and forth. And today when the it was less turbidity, we were able to get a pretty good visual. I also flew the drone above, which sometimes you get a better penetration of what the contour is. And there was no noticeable sandbar, which is a good sign. And that was at a minus 0.9, so just short of minus one. No sandbar, didn't have any obvious. The buoy is into the channel, but it is still a wide enough area where boats could freely pass.
The buoy that's at the mouth of the Barranca got washed in a little bit, you're saying?
channel.
Yeah, to establish the channel. So it actually rested in the perfect spot. So I mean, kind of weird how that worked out, but it's in a good spot. So we'll kind of look as the weeks and months go, if we do not do the dredging, whether we need to add additional shoaling type smaller buoys. But yeah, the channel is wide enough for most all boat traffic.
I guess I want to come around to the vice chair's point. If there is an opportunity to receive federal funding for inner harbor dredging, we would pursue that.
And but emergency funding in particular related to this event, could we tie it to this event?
That would be the approach, correct.
And because it's inner dredging, could it be city emergency funding?
Well, the city has declared an emergency, and as you recall, they do share a portion of the dredging, inner harbor dredging cost is a city expense. The majority of it is the port districts. But they have declared an emergency. If this board were to do so as well, I think it would be set up pretty favorably to, at the very least, pursue the possibility.
Okay, thank you.
Speaking of the city, a nice letter that we received today highlighting, Brian, your staff's commendable communication, coordination, and assistance, and specifically calling out the Harbor Master. So well done, everybody. Echoing Chris's comments. So, all right. So we have a resolution on the table, commissioners.
And there's no public comment. We can answer that. So I'm going ahead and move on the agenda.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 3462, declaring a state of emergency due to the atmospheric river rain events of January 2023. So this one, because it's a resolution, we want to do a roll call vote, right?
That's correct. Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 4-0.
All right, so I believe that concludes our agenda for the evening.
It does. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mind if I could just...
Excuse me. And while we have her here, I want to ask Jennifer... a little bit about the December, both the decorations and the certainly I thought the Parade of Lights, and certainly the general feeling in the village over Christmas, because I know in the past we've had, you know, some merchants have said it's good for business and bad for business, but it certainly, when I was down there numerous times, saw a lot of smiling faces. So I'm wondering, have you had any anything from any of our tenants, feedback that you're aware of? Yeah, the Parade of Lights in general, but just generally the holiday season. I mean, was it good for them or bad for them? Or, you know, I mean, the weather certainly wasn't bad all the time. And I just, because you were taking the time to be here and we haven't seen your smiling face in so long, I thought it would just... Yeah, exactly.
Press the button. Oh, yes.
Hello. Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. Yes, thank you for asking. Yes, we were just saying earlier this week that we are a little bit fortunate on the timing of weather, that we had a very nice December in terms of our two events. We did have some rain with some of our activities, but we weathered through that. And Commissioner Stephen was here and reported on being at those events, Jackie, and it was here. And, you know, we had Commissioner Rainey actually serve as one of our judges, and Commissioner Gardena, so Vice Chairman Gardena. And so, you know, they were all very well attended. I think the tenants did pretty well during that time. We haven't seen their numbers yet that I'm aware of for December. That's correct. They're not reported quite yet. So we can't say, you know, in terms of the revenue per se, but we did have fairly good weather and the Parade of Lights went off very well. We had thousands of people here during those weekends. We would have liked to have seen, of course, I always want to see sunshine after Christmas. We looked at our numbers on the tracker that we have that's called, it's Slipping Sky-Fi, thank you. And we saw December 26th is one of our second highest day in December. So we know that after Christmas, had we had the, you know, sunny, good weather, we would have seen a consistent, you know, slew of people coming down after the holidays to spend their dollars to have friends and family, which we really promote every year.
I hate to cut you off, Jennifer, but it appears that we've gone back to the departmental reports.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, good point. So wrapping that up, we'll be able to report on that a little bit better. And but we did see, haven't heard anything negative.
Right.
So.
That's what I know in the past we had. So that's glad to hear that. But also, and when I was signing the check, it reminded me because it was to the decoration company, but the village just felt very Christmassy, like Christmas in California should be. So
well, excellent.
Well done. If you could pass that on to staff too.
We will. Thank you.
So I'll wrap up these the addendum to the staff reports by saying, and in a walk through the village earlier, looking out, we saw calm waters, clear skies, a beautiful sunset, gorgeous green hills. And you know what's the Ventura phrase? All I want for Christmas is I'm dreaming of a green Christmas.
That's
I guess
right.
That's
yeah,
it, right? That's what I was trying to search for. But I put Christmas behind me. I'm looking forward to a good year.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we're starting out with an emergency, but we'll get her all right. So, all right, we're going to adjourn. Next meeting is on February 1st. We'll see everybody then. Thank you.
Yeah.